My scripture reading is in Isaiah 53 and starting at the fourth verse. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you anoint these words to come into our minds and thoughts as you would have. And Heavenly Father, I ask your blessings on these words that we bring this morning. And in your name we ask, and amen. The title of my message to you today is three letters of the alphabet and one word. And that word is all. And I'd like to go to my text. I would like to read again the verse 6 of Isaiah 53. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. When I read the scripture reading that I read to you, and the text also, what comes to your mind? What is this in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, in that which is not referred to that often or read from or messages taken from, in these verses, as well as much in the Old Testament, what comes to your mind in these verses in that text? Well, surely it is Yeshua. It is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is the one who bears the iniquity or the sins of us all. He bore our sins and took them to the cross and shed his only blood as the perfect sacrificial Passover Lamb of God. That particular year, Yeshua paid the ultimate price, gave his life, shed his blood for each one of us, bore his iniquity of us all, and allowed it to fall upon himself, and his blood be shed as the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. What does all mean to you? If I ask, what's the definition of all? Well, when you look in the dictionary, it's one of those words that sort of leads you around in circles. All means all. And another way of looking at it is that all means none excepted. No exceptions. All is all. What about the great alls that are in the Bible? And I think maybe it might be more meaningful to you to call up some of these verses. Let's look at Romans 3:23 in the examination of the word all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My. All means none excepted. Does that include you? Does that include every one of us, both in this congregation this morning, in this assembly, and also all the ones that may be hearing this through other means, through the internet? Does this apply to anyone hearing these words today? Yes, it does. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that mean that any particular one of you listening to this morning, does that mean that you're sinning right now? Does that mean that you perhaps have something going on that you would have to say, I am sinning? You know, that would be sad this morning. Because just because the word said for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're sinning right at this instant, or that you have something going on in your life that you would have to say, yes, I'm participating in something that I'd have to call sin. So I guess I would be. It's sad if we are in that condition this morning, because we should find ourselves trying to do our very best, trying to live righteously, trying to be seen as a fruit, as a tree bearing good fruit. Are you as a tree bearing good fruit? I'd like to think that most of us are. Could we do better? Can we be more perfect? Well, sure. Can our reactions to others be a lot better than perhaps they've been over the last week or two? Can our actions be better? Yes. And we constantly should try to be better. To be better brothers to others, brothers and sisters. To be a better servant to Yahweh. And a closer example to Yeshua and what he did and what he said when he walked this earth, and what he did not do and what he did not say while he walked this earth. All of that is important. Nothing should be left out. Yeshua is our primary example here on this earth. And what he did or say, we should try to do or say. What he did not do or did not say, we should try to do the same. Because he is the perfect example. He lived his life as a human on this earth without sin. Can any of us say that? I don't think we can after we read this verse, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now maybe we can make the statement, maybe we should say there is an exception. And that is Yeshua lived as a human on this earth without sin. Spotless and blameless. The perfect sacrificial Passover Lamb of God, shedding his precious blood for each of us. For that hope that we have in living a righteous life like Yahweh would have us to live. And like the Word of God, the Word of Yahweh, how it tells us that we should live. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2 and 6. And remember, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 Timothy 2 and 6. Who gave himself as a ransom for all. The testimony given at the proper time. Speaking of Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's look at 1 John 1 and 5. 1 John 1 and 5. This is a message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. First John 1 and 5. Okay, let's go to 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Was the word all in the 1 John 1 and 5? Let's look at that again. 1 John 1 and 5. Well, the very last word is all. I had thought that maybe that got in there, maybe it was really in John rather than 1 John. But look at the very last, that God is light. And when you see the word light, what should you think? God is truth. Ultimate truth. Perfect truth. That God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. None. No darkness. This text and these examples of the word all affects us all because it applies to us all. Remember in my scripture reading to you in Isaiah, the words, we have all gone astray. We have all gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. Makes us think of the very beginning of mankind on this earth, where we got to sin coming into the picture, coming on this scene. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10, let's look at that. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none righteous, not even one. I think if we're hearing these verses speaking of all and speaking of none and thinking of none accepted, seems like this would be really making us think about exactly where we are in our walk with God and His requirements of us. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. Let's look at Romans 3. Well, I'll just state Romans 3:23. We've looked at that before. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. And in Genesis 3:3, we understand that sin brought death. And let's look at Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. For all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where do we have eternal life? Or if you wish to express it, where do we find the hope of eternal life? It's only in Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's look at Ephesians 2:1. And we find in here that sin brought death. And it brought two different kinds of death. Do you know there's two different kinds of death? Physical death. Like virtually everybody is going to see and have lived before us, virtually all met physical death. But there is also spiritual death. And that's the saddest death of all. Because that is the one that separates us from Yahweh and Yeshua. And all of the loved ones that we perhaps have had in our entirety of our life, it separates us from them forever. Ephesians 2:1. And you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Spiritual death. Let's look at Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. So, two different kinds of death, natural and spiritual. And all creation has been affected by the ultimate death that occurred in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve when sin first entered into this world. All were affected from that point on by their sin, by their failure, by their fall. Sin has placed us in deep trouble. Because apart from God's love, there is no hope. And what did Paul say along those lines? If we have no hope, we are of all men most miserable. We would be. That's something serious. Thankfully, Yahweh loves us and Yeshua. And they love us, and so we have hope. Romans 5:8. Let's see what that says. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does Yeshua really love the sinners? He loves all of us, including the sinners, enough to die for us all. And yet, how many is there that turn their backs on the things that God has in His Word, on the principles, on the right living, on hope, on works, on faith? So many believe that it's just a book, just words, just history. But we see so much more, because we see the love that Yahweh and Yeshua has for us. The love that they have for us, which means eternal life or eternal death. And both of them are very real. Just like Yahweh and Yeshua are very real and living and alive today and working. And so is Satan. So is the devil. He's real. He has helpers. We call them demons. And he's real because the Bible, the Word of God, says he's real. And says that there was a point in time in which the devil, Satan, the leader, and the ones that he influenced of God's angels, one third of them went along with Satan and the devil. Went along with him and went down with him. Were cast out because they believed a lie. They believed the great deceiver. They did not keep their trust and their faith and their appointments with Yahweh. Besides in Isaiah's saying, we have all gone astray, it also lets us know that that we have all gone not only astray, but we have all gone our own way. We have turned everyone to the things in our mind that we want to do and say and be and go. And we have chosen to rebel against Yahweh and the path that He said to take and where He said to go and how He said to react or not react. We've chosen to rebel against Him by rebelling against His laws, against His love, against His goodness, and against His grace. And even further than that, rebellion against even His plan. His plan of salvation, of sending His only begotten Son to shed His blood for each one of us, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the hope of eternal life. Living with Him, Yahweh and Yeshua, living with Him in the hereafter, after this natural life, having that hope of being with them and living with them forever. And that rebellion that I've just mentioned continues today. Some will not receive Yeshua and be saved. And even some believers go back, backslide, turn against God, and go and choose their own way and their own lifestyle, how they want to do and act, and where they want to choose for their lives to go in that direction. Yeshua died our debt of sin to pay. And the words in Isaiah was, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yeshua paid it all. He voluntarily paid our debt of sin, and he became the appeasement. The word in some of the Bibles used the word propitiation, and I wanted to look that up. I don't particularly exactly think that word means a whole lot to a lot of people, but it simply means the appeasement or the conciliation for our sins. The means in which the sin debt was made, was satisfied. So he became that appeasement for all of our sins. He became sin for us all. Let's look at that. That's a pretty strong statement. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A little bit hard to decipher and a little bit hard to understand, but it amounts to Yeshua, the only begotten Son of the Father Yahweh, subjected himself to the Father's will and plan and agreed to die on the cross as that perfect sacrificial Passover Lamb of God, paying the debt for each one of our sins. And let's look at 1 Peter 1 and 18 through 20. And I'm coming to a conclusion fairly quick. 1 Peter 1, 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Isn't that something? Yeshua agreed to the plan and carried out the plan. Our redemption by his blood is the most important, probably single principle, if we had to narrow it down to one sentence, in all of God's Word. It's a way by which you are saved. It's Yahweh's ultimate master plan. It's the ultimate theme of heaven. Let's look at Revelation 1 and 5. Revelation 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Have you ever read a single verse in the Bible that makes it so perfectly clear how you are saved? How you become a literal son or daughter of the Father God? How you become part of God's family? to Him who loved us and released us from our sins by His blood. Let's look at Revelation 5 and 9. Revelation 5 and 9. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Do you think all enters into that? The hope that we all have in Yahweh. To come into agreement, acceptance of His plan, and be part of His family and live forever and ever. Now lastly, let's look at Revelation 7, and we're starting at the 9th verse. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' And then one of the elders answered, saying to me, These who are clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from?' And I said to him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Aren't those wonderful verses to contemplate as you are a member in the family of Yahweh, and you are to inherit, both in the now and the hereafter, all the blessings and the good things that were promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, leading to David, leading to Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you would, stand with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message and we thank You for this day. We ask Your blessings on all who hear this message today. We ask You to anoint their ears so that they can understand the things that You would have them to know from these words. And Heavenly Father, we ask You to go with each one, bless each one, and Lord, bless their loved ones, and let each one be used by You to influence others to come to know Yahweh and Yeshua, and come to be one in the literal family of God. And in all these things, through Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And let's read God's blessing to us this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.